Welcome to the Mac for the Blind audio tutorial series. I'm John Panarees, and in this tutorial, I'm going to provide an overview or an introduction to the Mac and Mac OS. At this point, I have a lot of audio tutorials available for the Mac. And one of the questions that I've gotten from more than a few people over the last year and a half since I started this endeavor to record tutorials is if it would be possible for me to actually do a tutorial that just sort of goes over the Mac basics and sort of orients somebody to a Mac after they've gotten it. And I've sort of been a little reluctant to try to do it and have focused specifically on the applications one by one and some of the features and tasks. So I had a conversation with a new client recently, and it sort of prompted me to maybe try going down the avenue of doing this type of tutorial. So, you know, first let me just say that obviously, as I've said, if those who are familiar with listening to my other tutorials, I always recommend third-party resources, other folks who've done this type of material. It's always good to get input from another source besides me for learning the Mac or, you know, iOS or any other device at this stage. So I'm going to do this on two devices simultaneously. My MacBook Pro 2017 as sort of the system you're going to hear things happening on. Also, this assumes that you have your Mac set up. In other words, I'm not going to go through the setup assistant. And if that's an interest that people have, they can let me know if they want me to walk them through. But the setup assistant process always is modified and changed from Mac OS version to Mac OS version. So that's another reason why I've been sort of reluctant to do that. So this is going to be assume that you've already got your Mac up and running. So I'm just going to kind of give you an orientation to some basic Mac terminology and Mac areas. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by rebooting the MacBook Pro and let you hear what you should normally hear is that it should go onto the desktop. Now, this will be different if you have had applications running and you restart your Mac. The Mac does use what is called the resume feature, and this works on both the system and the application level, meaning that when you restart your Mac, if you've had an application like Mail or Safari running and you reboot it, it's going to start those applications, you know, that were left when you shut down or rebooted. And the same thing, if you close an application like Safari or TextEdit and you have Windows open, if you reopen those applications, those windows will reopen. So on my MacBook Pro, I have nothing open. So I'm going to have you hear what happens after you boot up and we will go from there. Okay, so this MacBook Pro uses FileVault.
VoiceOver on.
So we're not going to be able to hear this in the regular speaker at first because it's not actually in VoiceOver. So I'm going to get this up and running. So hopefully now when it does reboot, you're going to actually hear it on the system, the recording system here. So this should go right to the desktop. Let's just give it a few seconds here. So any, you know, time you reboot your Mac, unless, as I said earlier, you have applications running, it'll put you on the
Welcome
desktop.
To Mac OS. VoiceOver is on. Finder, desktop, Macintosh HD, volume.
Okay, so you hear Macintosh HD, volume.
Macintosh HD, volume.
So that's the only thing that is on
Macintosh HD, volume.
On my desktop of my MacBook Pro. Sometimes you're not going to have a Macintosh HD visible. It might be a blank desktop. So what I would recommend, and not to sound like I'm going to be doing self-promotions throughout this tutorial, but I do have a audio tutorial on the Finder that will go into depth on how to make your Macintosh HD visible. So what the Finder is, just to give an overview, is like if you're coming over from Windows, it is like the Windows Explorer or My Computer feature. So you have all your files and folders contained in your Macintosh HD. So when you open
Macintosh HD,
your Macintosh HD
column, applications,
you
folder,
can hear your different folders, applications,
library, system, users, application, users, folder.
So your users folder, and then you have in your users
John, folder,
folder,
docs, folder, downloads, Dropbox.
So you'll have different folders, and then you can go into those folders and you can access all your files. And as I said, my Finder tutorial goes into significant depth on how to navigate your file and folder structure, how to set up view preferences, and how column view works, and how you can easily find the things you're looking for. I also have information on copying and pasting and moving items. So definitely you want to understand the Finder, because the Finder is sort of the nuts and bolts of the Mac. It's where you're going to, you know, when you store things, you want to know where to find them. So you need to be very familiar with the Finder, and VoiceOver is certainly completely accessible. So that starts with the desktop, and then you go from the desktop, you have an applications folder, you have your documents, you have downloads, you have a desktop folder, you have music where it contains your iTunes library, you have a pictures folder that contains photos. So you really need to be familiar with this and how to get to them. So the Finder, definitely the foundational part of your Mac. Now, there is also something called the dock. It is a horizontal row of icons that lines the bottom of the screen visually.
Dock. Finder. Open. 1 of 30.
So this is basically like a quick launch toolbar, and you use your VoiceOver navigation, and in, I do have an introduction audio tutorial for free that goes into how to use VoiceOver and gives some general navigation tips. So I'm just going to
Siri, 2 of 30. Launchpad, 3 of 30. Safari, 4 of 30. Mail, 5 of 30.
So I'm just navigating the dock right now, and you're hearing the application shortcuts spoken. So each of these things that you're hearing are icons that represent the shortcut to that specific application.
Contacts, 6 of 30.
So there's a contacts icon.
Calendar, 7
calendar.
Of 30. Notes, 8 of
30. Notes. So if I opened by pressing Control Option Space, I can open any of these applications from the dock. So the dock is really a common place where people start as far as wanting to launch their applications and getting up and running. So I do have another audio tutorial that specifically addresses the dock and how to use it with VoiceOver. Again, it's going to sound like I'm doing a lot of self-promotion here, but realistically speaking, I have taken the time over the last year and a half to try to provide people with tutorials on each of these applications. Now, it's really kind of important to sort of, like I said, go through that introductory tutorial if you're not familiar with how VoiceOver works. You want to learn the help system. You want to learn how to get help on the Mac with VoiceOver, or at least get help for VoiceOver on the Mac. You also want to learn the interaction concept. Very important for VoiceOver users. You want to understand what interaction is and how it's done and when it's done and when it's not done. And again, I have a tutorial that explains the whole concept of interaction, and it also talks about the different element types that you do have to interact with, as well as some other tips. Also, understanding the VoiceOver utility and going to the VoiceOver utility.
Notes, 8 of 31. VoiceOver utility, window, utility.
So, you know, being able to open that with the Control Option F8 shortcut and being able to understand what is in the VoiceOver utility. And yes, you guessed it, I have a tutorial that deals specifically with that. And understanding how you can customize VoiceOver and make VoiceOver work effectively with the Mac. For example, setting up speech voices, navigation when you browse the web. If you're a Braille user, setting up your Braille display, using what is called the numpad or the keyboard commanders. Yes, I do have a tutorial that deals specifically with numpad, trackpad, keyboard, and quick nav commanders, something that a VoiceOver user should also consider utilizing as well. So definitely the VoiceOver utility is a place you want to be familiar with when it comes to making VoiceOver work for you. As far as macOS stuff goes, some other things you should be familiar with. System preferences. System preferences is like the control panel for your Mac. It's how you customize the Mac and make changes to the Mac that either are going to impact you or impact all users. Now, just as kind of a quick orientation to accounts on the Mac, people are usually only familiar with the one account that gets set up when you first get your Mac. And that's what's called the administrator account. And that's basically what everybody is when they first get their Mac and go through the setup process. And the administrator has got a lot of power, and you're made an administrator because it allows you to do things like install applications, remove applications. Administrators can create other users. You can delete other users. You can do a lot of maintenance stuff on the computer that other types of users can't do. So standard user is another type of user that you can set up. And if you're in a situation where you're a parent and you're creating accounts for other users, yes, more than, you know, one person can have their own individual accounts on the Mac. And this is done in system preferences under users and groups. So a standard user is somebody you don't want to give power, who can do a lot of different things, but still can access applications, can still get their work done on the system. And if you are a parent, you can look into what are called parental controls, and you can set limits, time use limits. You can set limits to the types of applications that a person uses. So there's all kinds of things you can have control over. And this is all done through the system preferences interface. And again, I have a tutorial for that too. And you need to be a VoiceOver user who is pretty experienced to be able to get around.
Preference pane, in preference pane, desktop and screensaver, dock button, mission control, language and region, security and privacy, spotlight button, displays button, energy saver button, keyboard button, mouse button.
These are the different types of preferences that you have to work with. So as I alluded to earlier, there are preferences that affect only the one individual who is using the system at the time, whose account is logged in. And there are preferences that you need to be aware of that impact everybody on the Mac. And these are system preferences that are locked, meaning that you have to authorize or authenticate yourself as an administrator to unlock them and be able to make changes to those preferences. So again, it's not as though you need to be super Mac geek to do these things. That's the beauty of the Mac. It's a very consumer-friendly product as far as the average quote-unquote user not needing to necessarily be a technical super genius to make changes to the system. You're not going to blow up your Mac. You're not going to cause the system to all of a sudden not be able to boot again. You know, if you want to really destroy a Mac, the closest thing you can, or easiest thing you can do is simply take a sledgehammer and smash it. That's about it. It's not like Windows, where Windows, it's very easy to get into the reg, and it's very easy to delete DLL files that can render your system inoperable within, 2.2 seconds. So that's, just a little side note, not to do promotion for the Mac, but this is just something I can tell you from having used Windows since 1993 to the present, and having used a Mac since 2005 to the present. So that's system preferences. That is really, your control of the Mac itself. Now, you can do all the different tasks that you can do on a PC. You can connect your hard drives to your Mac. They will show up on the desktop, and you can navigate them and investigate them just as though they are the internal drive on the system. You can use thumb drives. You can use USB connectable drives. You can use Thunderbolt connected external drives. So there's a whole array of different types of storage devices that you can do for backup. The Mac comes with what is called Time Machine as an automatic backup system that is built into Mac OS. It's a very user-friendly system in which all you do is plug an external drive in, and the Mac will start to back up for you automatically. And if you keep the drive connected, it will do hourly backups. If you plug the drive in every, let's say once a week or once every 2 weeks, anytime you do that, if there's a Time Machine backup present, the Mac will back up for you. And of course, yes, I hate to say this, but I do have a tutorial on the details of using Time Machine on your Mac, but something you definitely want to consider. Printing on the Mac, very easy. You can print from any application. It doesn't really matter as long as you have a printer connected to the system. I'm just going to start a
Finder, Doc. Notes, 8 of 30. Training not found, 27 of 30.
Let's do
Notes, 8 of 30.
Let's do Notes.
Finder, Dropbox. Notes, window.
Just for the sake of argument here, and if I do a Command-P.
Print in dialogue 4.
So you get the printer dialogue, and if you have connected printers,
HP OfficeJet 4650 series,
you're going to have the printers going to show up. The Mac is very easy with printing. You simply plug in your printer, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to either have the drivers, or it's going to take a couple of seconds and tell you that it's going to the Apple website and it needs to download the drivers. And then before you know it, your printer's up and going. If it's a Wi-Fi printer, it will find the printer on the network, and the same thing will happen. If it needs drivers, it will go off to the Apple website and get the drivers for you, and you'll be printing within a couple of seconds. The only time this may not be as easy as it sounds is if you're using an off-the-path kind of obscure printer model. But all of the major ones like HP, Epson, Canon, Fuji, Lexmark, you know, anything like that, Brothers, the drivers should be found by the system. If you have a driver disk that has the Mac drivers, there might be the rare instance in which you'll need to put that disk in. But printers tend to be a lot easier of a situation than you have in terms of a Windows system. Same thing with networking. Networking is very easy on the Mac. You can join a wireless network, or you can connect your Mac through an Ethernet cable, a hardwired system. Now, the problem with laptops, especially the newer Mac laptops, is you don't have the Ethernet port on the Mac, so you may have to get an adapter. The iMacs still have them, but a lot of the new laptop models, especially this particular MacBook Pro, has the USB-C ports, the 4 of them, the Thunderbolt ports on the system. So I would need an adapter if I wanted to connect this directly to my modem. But wireless connection, very easy. Again, it's in my introductory tutorial about navigating menus. VOM,
menu bar, Apple,
will take you to the menu. If you do the regular menu of any application, every application on the Mac has a menu bar, just like in Windows. If you do the VOM command a second time,
menu extras,
takes Dropbox you to the menu extras. And in the menu extras, you will find
Time Machine, Apple Script, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, 404.
Wi-Fi. So you can activate the Wi-Fi network, and you can join
Wi-Fi
networks.
Looking, turn Wi-Fi off. Personal hotspot. John's iPhone. Checkmark. John 2.
So I'll see
network.
All the networks.
CNXL8. Direct FE HP office. Yet.
So I'm connected to my network as it is. But if you're going to do this for the first time, you simply look for your network name. You press VO space. And then you put in your password or whatever it is you need to enter your passcode. And you're on the network. And then all you need to do is go into that menu extras. And you'll see that you have 4 or 4 bars or 3 or 4 bars, whatever it happens
Notes.
To be. You'll be online. You can use Mail. You can use Safari, etc., etc. So that's very easy to get your Mac up and running. If you have to use a hotspot or you're using a card, one of those like Verizon cards or AT&T cards, you just need to make sure you know the name of the networks that's created. And if there's a self-generated passcode or one that you develop, then you have just have to make sure you know it and you'll be able to use those cards as well. Okay, so another thing, I'm just going to kind of talk quickly about applications just to kind of tell you what the most important applications are. I'm not going to go into any detail, and I'll save my breath of just kind of prefacing this by saying I have audio tutorials available for each of these apps that I'm going to kind of sort of give you an overview of. So Finder is, as we said, your file and folder explorer on your Mac. Safari is for your web pages.
Doc. Notes. Oh, Siri. 2 of 30.
Go to here.
Safari. 4 of 30.
So Safari is how you go to web pages.
Safari. Windows fades as business develops a taste for.
So it's your browser. You can go to any website, just like you can do in Windows. You can have multiple websites open. You can customize Safari to work for you. There's several different ways to browse with the Mac and VoiceOver, either by standard keyboard commands or using what is called Quick Nav. Again, tutorials available to go address Safari. So that's your web browser. You have contacts.
Doc. Safari contacts. 6
contacts
of 30.
Contacts is your address book. You can go into your
contacts,
address book.
6 of 30. Contacts. Contacts. Window. Search. Search text field. Scroll area. Vertical splitter. JD. Scroll area. Contact list table.
So you have a contact list table. You can pick out your contacts. You can call them. You can email them. Keep track of them. If you're using iCloud, iCloud is the cloud service that Apple offers for free. It will allow you to sync your contacts, your calendars, your bookmarks, your documents across. If you're a multiple Apple device user, you have an iPad, an iPhone, and a Mac, you can get access to all of your data basically through iCloud from any of those systems. And as I said, that includes your contacts. So the contacts app is your address book. You have the calendar app.
Doc, contact calendar, 7, calendar,
calendar
7
app
30.
Is calendar. Your calendar. And this, again, will sync with other devices.
Vertical splitter. Collapse close button. Sunday. It today. But preview grid. It Monday, November 27th, Tuesday, November 28th, Tuesday, December 5th, Tuesday.
So you can navigate your month. You can do it by week. You can do it by day. You can set events. You can find events. You can search for events. The calendar is a full function, robust, and yes, it is an accessible application. You might hear the odd blind user here and there tell you that it's not odd, not meaning that it's an odd person, meaning that it's not common, that you'll get the person who's going to say that the calendar is not accessible with VoiceOver and it's confusing and yada, yada, yada. Check out my tutorial. I explain exactly how to use it and how easy it is. It's something I use on a daily basis to keep track of my schedule. So that's the calendar application. You have, of course, the mail application. The mail application is for email. It is called Apple Mail, but people typically call it just the mail app.
Mail, inbox, 11 messages, 5 unread.
So you can set up as many accounts as you want. You can navigate your inbox. You can set up other mailboxes for yourself. You can have signatures. You can reply. You can send. You can compose. You can deal with attachments, send attachments. You can receive attachments. Anything that you can do in a Windows Mail client, you can do accessibly with Apple Mail. Again, very easy app to use once you know what you're doing. I use it every day. It's a very effective application. So definitely something that the average VoiceOver user should know about and be able to use effectively. As far as word processors go on the Mac, TextEdit is the one that comes with the Mac. Sometimes people think of TextEdit as simply a notepad or a WordPad version from Windows, and it's not. It is a full-blown word processor that can do basic formatting, centering, bold, italics. You can do line spacing. You can do lists. There's a lot of things for the average user that TextEdit can do. So look for TextEdit on your Mac. I'm going to be doing a tutorial that will specifically address some TextEdit basics. But there are also other word processors. The Microsoft Word 2016 version is accessible on the Mac. And it's the 2016 Office for Mac that you want, nothing prior to that. You have Pages, the Apple version of Microsoft Word, which I prefer. Pages is very accessible. I have a couple of tutorials that deal with Pages. There's also a wonderful book written by Ann Robertson that addresses how to use Pages utilizing VoiceOver. Very detailed if you need some specific information or you're a Power Word Processor user for school or professionally. She will definitely get your questions answered in her book. So Pages, there are other word processors out there. You might hear people talk about Nasus Writer. There's iText, there's Bean. So there's definitely a lot of ways you can deal with word processing. Excel 2016 for Microsoft, or Numbers, the Apple equivalent, is your spreadsheet application. You have PowerPoint for 2016 Microsoft's Office, and you have Keynote, which is the Mac equivalent. So as far as an Office suite goes, that's definitely stuff that you can use on your Mac.
Doc.
And of course,
calendar,
we have
open.
What everybody's favorites, and I'm saying that sarcastically.
iTunes, 17 of 30.
iTunes.
Calendar.
Hear people vilify
iTunes.
iTunes quite extensively, but it is the music application on your Mac. You can play music. You can rip CDs and have access to them. You can play audiobooks. You can sync to your iPhone or your iPad. Trust me, iTunes is not the big bad wolf that some people make it out to be. I have a very in-depth iTunes tutorial that will explain and get you up and running. I've been using it for many years. I use it for a lot of different tasks. There are alternatives. There's VLC is a popular alternative if people decide they don't want to use iTunes. So that's one you can look at as well. And then you have things like FaceTime, which has become more and more prevalent in the Mac world. FaceTime, as far as the continuity feature on the Mac, which I do have a tutorial explaining in depth. You can make phone calls and receive phone calls on your Mac, and you have the ability to send and receive text messages as well using your Mac. The Messages application is basically the equivalent if you're an iPhone or an iPad user, so you can text and send iMessages or receive regular text and text messages, and you have that on your Mac as well. So FaceTime is what handles the phone end of things. So if you receive phone calls, and you can use just the FaceTime app itself to contact people via FaceTime. So definitely another app to look for on your Mac. I do have on the audio tutorials a thing about OCR apps. Sometimes that's a big question. OCR apps such as DocuScan Plus, Abby Fine Reader Pro, Prismo, VooScan. These are apps that you can get access in the same way as a Kurzweil or 1000 or a OpenBook will allow you. Sometimes you hear people say that you don't have a scanning solution, quote unquote, on the Mac. Those are definite, good, accessible scanning solutions. Braille through Duxbury 12.3 is available for sale from Duxbury. So you do have Braille output with a variety of different embossers that you can run from the Mac. So again, that used to be one of the sticking points that people used to say, oh, you don't really have good Braille support like you do have in Windows. And give Duxbury a lot of credit. They've worked hard on the beta, and it's now recently, as far as the recording date of this tutorial in December of 2017, the actual version is available for sale through Duxbury, and you can contact them for specific details for pricing and all that stuff. You'll see other things in your dock like iBooks, which is just like if you're an iPhone or an iPad reader that gives you access to PDF and EPUB books and the iBook store. You'll see Siri if you're running Mac Sierra, Mac OS Sierra, or High Sierra. So Siri is available on the Mac, and you can do very similar things that you can do on the iPhone and the iPad. So the dock is, as I said earlier, is your best place to learn your applications to what you have on your Mac. But your applications folder in Finder will have the master list. So your dock might only have 18, 20, 22 apps, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. But the applications folder in Finder is going to contain all of your applications that are installed. Things like Skype and Dropbox. There are a lot of third-party applications out there in the Mac App Store or through third-party developers that will give you the kinds of access to different hobbies and professional productivity types of situations, just like you have in Windows. So it's just a matter of becoming familiar with the Mac equivalent for those types of applications. So there you have basically an overview of Mac OS and its main applications and tasks and features. And if you're a voiceover user, you really should be a good voiceover user, quote unquote, good voiceover user, at least a comfortable voiceover user, before you start delving into the areas of applications. One of the mistakes that people sometimes make is they want to put the cart before the horse. They want to, run before they can even crawl. You can't do that. You got to learn voiceover first, and you got to be comfortable and be able to navigate and know what interaction is and get around basic screens before you start using your applications. But the applications are there, and hopefully this has been a really effective overview of Mac OS and to get you up and running and familiar with the system and some of the things you're going to hear. One last thing about Finder that I do want to point out to people, because this question has gotten asked of me 1,000 times.
Calendar, Safari, Notes, Finder, Dropbox, Window, Column View, Browser, One Eyes, Closed Window, Macintosh HD, Volume.
So you hear it say Macintosh HD Volume. As a parting word before I conclude this tutorial, a volume is nothing more than a disk. So when you connect an external drive or a thumb drive, it's going to be presented as a quote-unquote volume. Not volume as in raising or lowering the sound volume, etc., etc. Volume just is a fancy schmancy way of saying disk. So I hope that this has been a good overview for you folks, and I hope that it helps some people out there get themselves familiar with the Mac. Please visit the website www.macfortheblind.com, macfortheblind.com. I have a whole series of audio tutorials for the Mac and iOS, as well as what is called Apple Slices for mini lessons for that target specific applications or tasks for both the Mac and iOS. You can email me with any comments or questions or just information on training if you want one-on-one training. John, J-O-H-N, at macfortheblind.com. You can call the office, regular business hours, 631-724-4479. I am on the East Coast, for those of you familiar. So, in other words, if you're in Hawaii or Alaska, keep that in mind if you want to call me. I'm always looking for suggestions. I'm always looking for ideas for new tutorials and new Apple Slices. I've gotten a lot of input from folks over the last year and a half. So I hope you keep it up. And thank you very much for listening and supporting Mac for the Blind. I truly appreciate it.